Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Alicia, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. Welcome, Alicia.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, it's exciting.
So to get us started, and maybe without giving too much away about the content or structure of the retreat for folks who haven't had a chance to go on the retreat yet, maybe you could tell us a little bit about your experience.
Well, you know, when I got back, a lot of people, you know, asked me about it in my life. and like so many people, I think, that go on retreat, there's a lot that I leave behind, you know, so there were a lot of people who knew that I was doing this because I had to leave, you know, different parts of my life behind. Yeah. And the way, I mean, of course, I had a wonderful experience like everybody I've heard on this show before who's gone.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of my inspiration for going because I just thought, wow, this sounds like a great experience. And now I understand, having gone, why, I really couldn't, had a hard time finding the words, excuse me, when people would ask me about it. And even now.
Yeah.
You know. So the best way I have described it is using this metaphor of, you know, that the truth is the retreat is based on the book, There Is Nothing Wrong With You, and that's a prerequisite to going on the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go on the retreat and you have the experience of that book.
Wow.
And my metaphor for that is like if you, you know, you love Italy, and so you get a guidebook maybe and learn more about Italy, and it's all beautiful. You know, you get a lot of details about Italy. But then you go to Italy, and it's just, you know, it's the richness and everything that the book describes, but you have the experience of that. And so while if people outside the Sangha don't really know what I mean when I say, oh, well, you have the experience of there is nothing wrong with you. And they're like, oh, that sounds neat. I'm like, well, it's more than that, but I can't really explain how neat it is, or, you know, whatever the adjective they use. So it's kind of a beyond words experience, but it is that experience. Many people have had the experience of reading a book and then having the experience of the book. And that is kind of the best way I can describe it.
Wow, that's so fantastic. I love that description. It truly is. It's beyond description, and it's beyond words. And people want to know, gosh, you know, what's it like to go on one of those retreats? And and it truly, in a certain way, it is beyond words. And then using that wonderful analogy of, you know, there's the There Is Nothing Wrong With You book, and you can read the book, and that's wonderful. And you can go on the retreat and then have an experience of what's being talked about in the book. It's just like if you had a guidebook to Italy and you read the book, that's one experience, and it's great. It's wonderful. And then you go to Italy, and then there's that experience. And, oh, my gosh, the richness, the depth that's possible there. And then kind of in a way, it's like you said, beyond that, you really can't kind of put it into words, can you? There's a quote that was dropping in for me, the Tao that can be named is not the Tao, kind of thing. Or it's, you know, there's not really words to talk about that experience, but we can go there and we can have that experience, can't we?
Right. And I think at least I'll just speak for myself. When when I was, when the retreat had come to an end, I was, you know, in my mind, just making this list of people that I would immediately contact when I got home. You have to go on this retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, of course, you get some guidance around those feelings, which I thought, that's interesting. But then you get home and it's like, wow, there's really no way to convince, you know, anybody. And the word, you just, because you don't have the words, I couldn't possibly, quote, sell it. But I just feel like if I had a magic wand and could wish, you know, anything for certainly, you know, people listening to this show, but really everyone in my life, you know, go.
It
took years to go, and I feel like, you know, it just, that is what it is. That, you know, but I'm just so glad that I went, because now that barrier is down, and now there's, I will go again. You know, there's just no more barrier.
No more barrier, no more resistance to that kind of opportunity.
Right, exactly.
Deep practice with Sangha in that monastic environment is just amazing. And if I'm tracking, what I hear you saying is that, you know, you finished the retreat and there's just so much appreciation, so much gratitude,
yeah.
Seeing all the life transformation that happens within yourself, mm-hmm. and then just wanting to be able to kind of almost wave a magic wand and give that to everyone you know. And
right.
There's that temptation to kind of like, you know, recommend the retreat or sell the retreat. And then, of course, there's the encouragement or the guidance to not dissipate the energy in that way, but to simply, you didn't mention it, but just to simply kind of be that change and to just kind
right.
of sparkle with that right. transformation that happened.
Right. Yeah, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited for any opportunity to talk about it, really. So I'm really grateful that you asked me, because I couldn't recommend it enough. I don't have words for it other than, you know, nobody, you know, you hear this within education. Oh, nobody can take your education away from you. But I just think that's true of experience. You know, no one can take that away. It's always a part of you. It's just part of who I am. So, and I cannot, of course, anybody, just that experience of not only like there is nothing wrong with you, but there is nothing wrong.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't.
Wow.
You know, I just kind of.
yeah, we could just anyway. Stop right there, right? And just
yeah.
kind of, that's it.
right.
Underline that.
That is it.
Not only is there nothing wrong with you, there's nothing wrong. And to be able to go and have a direct experience of that. I mean, it's one thing to read about it in a book, but to go and have a direct experience of there's nothing wrong. Gosh, talk about the greatest gift in the world.
It is. And like you say, I mean, the book is great. And the book really opened my mind and heart and all that as well. It's just this next level. I can't really compare them.
Yeah, and I loved what you said earlier too, that, you know, just like with an education, with an experience, no one can take that away. That you had that experience of touching into that place, that direct experience of nothing wrong, and that's there. And there's no one or no thing that can take that away, including, you know, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, you know, it might love to come back with all kinds of backlash or all kinds of stories and stuff, but that happened. You had that direct experience, and nothing can take that away.
Oh, yeah. And I don't have this. It's interesting, now that you just say that, I think I may have, I mean, I certainly had resistance to going. But after going, because I've said, you know, I came home and said, you know, I am going to plan to do that on a regular basis. I mean, there's no, and nothing came up. Okay, maybe things will come up, but I just can't imagine what's going to come up. Nothing has come up to diminish my experience, or maybe I've been lucky that I haven't had to deal with those voices. I'm grateful for them.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful experience. And even if they do come up, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
Right? Because we've got the tools in place. We've got the support. We've got the Sangha. We've got our wonderful compassionate calendar that we can get on and schedule those practice opportunities so that we've got them in place ahead of us. So that even if we do get derailed, we've got regular reminders and practice opportunities that help get us back on track. We're deeply supported.
Yes, and truthfully, that has been such a gift for me, because I had those things established. I mean, that was the nice thing about being a more having practiced for a few years. I just came right back into that. So I didn't have I'm sorry, my kids are screaming in the background. I didn't have the experience of, I wasn't wandering. I mean, I just knew I just got right back into, you know, my commitments, and they're very supportive.
Gosh, you made, yeah, another just fantastic point that, you know, all of the kind of virtual practice opportunities that we have are such a great gift. And there's practice in the monastery, which is its own thing, and nothing can kind of replace that. And the two are so complementary that we can go to the monastery and have that direct experience, have that, you know, kind of amazing experience at our spiritual home, and then return back out into our practice in the world, and then continue to be supported with all of these other kind of virtual practice opportunities with radio shows mm-hmm. and coaching and email classes, and all these different things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes. And it's been great. I mean, I have, anyway, again, I just have nothing bad to say. I want everybody to go. So I just really love it. And it's such a great, such a great experience.
I couldn't agree more. Well, I see we're just about out of time here. Was there anything else you'd like to add before we end?
You know, I've just thank everyone who's involved in running the retreat. It's I can't possibly thank you enough. Sorry, this is my child now. Anyway, so that's all. Just a big thank you, because without the people there, we wouldn't be able to have the experiences that we do, because the monks are all a part of it. So I'm very grateful.
Wow. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Deep gassho to the guide and to the monks and the sangha and everyone who makes that possible.
Wow. Yes.
Yes. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Alicia, for being with us and sharing your experience.
Yes, you're so welcome, and I'll be listening mm-hmm. to the show. Thank you.
Take care. Good night.
Okay, you too. Good night.
All right, Michael. We'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Lakota. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Michael. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Yeah, so it's not Sherry tonight, it's Jen, and I'm so glad you're here.
How lucky am I? 2 weeks in a row. Wow.
2 weeks in a row. Great.
So lucky.
Yes.
I loved that conversation with Alicia and Lakota. Wow.
Yes. Yes, me too.
You know, and I always think she was saying at the end there, gosh, and I got to thank all the folks at the monastery, and, it wouldn't be the same, without them. And I say this every time, but I was thinking, God, I wish there was a new way to say it. Of course, everyone showing up on retreat is what allows us to practice in the way that we practice.
Mm.
So it's so extraordinary how courageously and willingly and openly and generously people share their practice. I'm just so struck by that in that conversation.
Mm, yeah, how openly and generously people share their practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, just,
and I
go ahead.
I was just going to say, from what Alicia said and from what you said, really, it's everybody. You can't separate out somebody contributing more or less,
exactly.
Or this is for me, or I'm giving and they're receiving. It's all one thing.
It really is, actually. That you saying that really even deepens it for me. Because it's like, okay, for this week, the Sangha is on a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat.
Yeah, right.
And so, really, because then Alicia's on the Good News Update afterwards, or people call in to either this radio show or the Project Joy radio show, and they talk about their experience. And then those go up on the archives, and the folks who come in to support the retreat, who are volunteers, and, it's just the ripple effect is endless, really.
Yes. Yes, it is endless. And I just love that.
If I may, go ahead, Michael. Yep.
No, you go ahead, and then I'll go.
Well, I was just going to say, in fact, I was just looking at that today, that phenomenon of I was having such a joyful time having the image of those folks in late spring in the mountains of North Carolina on retreat. And I was marveling at how I didn't have to get on the airplane in order to attend to the retreat. Right? There I was having the experience of the retreat, and I'm right here in Mercer's, California. So, I don't know. It's just really beautiful.
It is beautiful. Yeah. Yes, it is beautiful. And I loved that analogy that Alicia used of the book and then the actual experience. You know, it's like reading in a book how to swim or reading in a book how to ride a bicycle and then right. doing it. I mean, they're related to in some way, but they're yeah. different.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, it was such a good analogy. And I just loved how you could feel, or at least I projected as she was talking, you could hear the transformation, but there's no way she could describe that to you. And then this happened, and that happened, and that happened, but you can feel it as she talks. You can feel how there is that, ah, yes, boy, and it is exactly that place. I'm going to Italy, man. I want some of what she has.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Using words, but not really being able to. it's like words are not a fine enough tool to be able to describe the yeah. experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet it is. It does point to it. You know, it's the finger pointing at
yes.
the moon. It does point us
yep.
in a direction, give us that experience. But it isn't a substitute for then having our own experience.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 Exactly. Exactly.
So,
beautiful.
Michael, I know you would normally be moving into announcements, and I understand that our announcement steward is on retreat.
Yes, right? And I do have the schedule in front of me here.
Well, and it's funny because that dropped in. I realized that as Alicia and Lakota were speaking, and then as they were very articulately giving us all the things about the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and then broadening it out to all the other practice opportunities and talking about how critical it is to come on retreat and then how supportive it is to have all the other things, I thought, well, they're really doing a nice job right there with the announcements, aren't they?
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, did you want to highlight some of the things that are coming up?
Sure. So May 30 through June 4 is the next Seasons of Joy retreat, summer mm-hmm. at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. And it looks like registration is open now.
Excellent. Yeah, so excited for that. We're just starting in on the preparations of what we're going to eat and what projects we're going to get to work on and all that. So really fun.
Oh, wonderful. Great. And then as we just heard about from Alicia and Makota, there's another There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, and that's June 10 through 17th.
When word has it, that's worth doing.
Yes. Yes, and I will add my support to that from my own experience. It was wonderful.
Mm. Yeah, excellent.
Yes. And then later in June, June 23rd through 25th, is a practice weekend at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Excellent. Oh, there's so much fun. Yep.
Yes. And then the first week of July, Jen, July 1st through 8th, we have another There Is Nothing Wrong With You at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
It's so fun, Michael, that we, you know, the reason we have multiple There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreats on the schedule each year is that they fill. It's amazing. And you
yes.
know what? It's really, they fill largely from people who, you know, will say, oh, how did you hear about the retreat? Well, my friend did the retreat and said, I have to come. So people do exactly, they do great. They do exactly what I think Alicia's describing is, gosh, I don't know how to tell you what happened on that retreat. All I can say is, if you want to know, you got to go. And that's how we fill up all these retreats. Amazing. Yeah.
Yes, yes. We really just have to have our own experience, it seems like.
Yeah.
Great. And there's more retreats after that, and I think I'll stop there unless you want me to keep going.
No, that sounds great. And, you know, just livingcompassion.org, I think, right, has all the details?
Yes, Yes, livingcompassion.org/schedule. And there's all the details.
Okay, good. Thanks, Michael.
Great. Yes, certainly. And if you'd like to talk with Jen today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a focus on one topic of about 5 minutes is really great. Okay, Jen, I think we're ready here. You ready?
Excellent. I am.
Okay, great. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Jen. Hi, Michael. It's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey.
How are you?
Just got flooded. Oh, good. I just got flooded with a huge rush of energy, so not a great reason to put yourself in the queue.
Exactly. Exactly so. Right. Gosh, I'm a little tired. I think I'll put myself in the queue.
And I get to watch the stories. You know, I was on most recently, and the stories were, well, you'll never get on, but don't put yourself in, and then life drop in. Well, just put yourself in anyways. That's participating wholeheartedly. Just put yourself in. Whether you get called on or not, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Exactly so, Todd. I mean, exactly so. And I'm not in charge.
Yeah.
Right?
Life I'm not in charge.
Yeah.
Life will choose. Yeah. I so appreciated that good news update as well today. I went right back to my couple experiences of there's nothing wrong with you retreats. I've had the great fortune to attend it a couple times and subsequent many retreats. But the transformation that I experienced in the first couple, there's nothing wrong with yous, transformative.
Yeah, you know, and Todd, as you say that, I don't know if this is your experience, but I think when we sort of give the description, we say it's a great retreat for new-timers and old-timers alike, and that really is true, isn't it? Because it so sets a foundation for a solid practice.
Yeah.
But also coming back to it after, as you say, having done a number of retreats and really being steeped in practice, it's a whole different experience.
It truly is, yeah. You're in a different place, and practice is different, and you have a lot of different, a larger support system at the front, and truly deepening and deepening and just seeing it I was listening to the Good News Update and just reflecting on truly how the very first one was like, and then doing it again and still over a decade now having some of those recordings from that retreat still on hand. Really, really fun to go back to those and hear this practitioner first time ever. You know, at the monastery, first time ever introduced to the practice, and just hearing, wow, that's really fun to listen to those recordings.
Oh, that is fun. Wow. Oh, yeah. That is fun. I bet there's so much to see in that. Yeah.
There's so much to see. And I was listening to it about a month ago and just overwhelmed with the willingness and seeing how much fear and anxiety and you know, not knowing what's going to happen next. Like, here's day 3, and it's like, you know, just this frightened, scared, small little child kind of navigating through, but being so supported to not turn on heel and run, which the voices were screaming every day.
I bet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's amazing.
It really is amazing, and just so much gratitude. And just when you and Michael were talking about how it takes us all, and I've been on both sides of those retreats quite a few times. I've been a participant, part of the support. I've been part of the support, and just how truly, you know, inspiring to know how much, you know, courage and, you know, the hero's path of seeing these new retreatants come and knowing what it was like for me and being able to be in that position to support the retreat and you know, it takes all of us to do the practice.
Yep, yep. And what a joy it is to be in there doing dishes so that folks can be in that room doing that work of transformation,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. What a joy.
Yep.
Truly a joy.
Yep.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I just wanted to touch on those few points and give other folks an opportunity. I might have even just stayed on one topic and gone 5 minutes.
Wow. That is fantastic, Todd. It was a pleasure hearing
it.
From you. Yeah.
Always a pleasure,
and,
Jen.
I know we'll see you again soon.
I'm looking at my schedule. I'm trying to block out a month and hope to be there for
good
the Visiting Monk program, which is really, really a huge part of my practice.
Yeah, that's another one, right? Just yep,
yeah,
a whole
yeah.
other,
yeah.
a whole other way of practicing. Yeah, yeah.
It really
yeah.
is. It really is. Well,
good.
Thanks
well,
again,
thank
Janet.
You, Todd. Good
thank
to
you,
hear
Michael,
you.
For
care.
Always being there and hosting the
show. You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. Great to hear from him, Jen, and really excellent points. I appreciated that.
Yeah, especially that piece of, well, you know, I just was on the show really recently, so I'll put myself in the queue. And then and catching that, right, because it's
right.
so subtle, catching that and then choosing, well, you know what, it's not up to me. I'm going to put myself in the queue. And it's not about whether I get unmuted or not. It's about the wholehearted participation.
Yes, yes, exactly. Exactly. Just as it takes all of us to do the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, it takes all of us to be Sangha.
That's right. Yeah, well put. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wonderful. And we have another caller, Jen.
Okay, perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, my name is Kim, and I've been listening to a lot of the archives, and it's so fun to hear Michael Yu in 2003. Like, wow! I think everybody, you know, I mean, it's just such a fun perspective, and realize that you have been doing this consistently since then, and it's really fun. But I do have a process. I have a question
okay.
that I'm going through a little process, a little workshop. I'm a personal workshop.
Okay, great. Great.
Of and I guess it's hard for me to explain without a little bit of content.
Sure.
If that's okay. So last year I did a running race, and it was a 10-mile race, and I trained really hard. And I had this goal. There were a couple of people I wanted to beat in this race, and ego was really having a good time. And I went out and I ran this race, and it was really intense, and I did great. And I accomplished my goal of beating these people, and so I signed up for the race again this year. And I signed up like 6 months ago. And the race is in 2 weeks, and I have not been able to train like I did last year, and I have not been able to, I just haven't been able to train. I've been sick. There's been things going on in my life, and now my ego, you know, I'm having this workshop about, well, maybe, you know, you shouldn't do the race, or you're going to do terrible, or, you know, and I'm seeing it all, you know, for what it is. For ego
right.
taking me for a ride, but
good.
I guess
mm-hmm.
I just need an angle. I need some support.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, that's great, Kim. It just strikes me that this the first thing out of the gate is how fortunate it is that you can see that you realize that it's a workshop. I mean, that's huge right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Because
yeah.
That puts us in a completely different relationship with every piece of content in our life. If we get it, that everything, I heard someone phrase it recently, everything that happens to me happens for me. So here's
yeah.
the race,
mm-hmm.
and you've already seen a ton around it, it sounds like. And it's come around again this year, and now you're seeing this, it sounds like from what you're describing, this whole other set of things around it. than you saw last year because the circumstances are different.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, last year I wasn't in a place where I could see as well, like what ego was putting me up against. And now when I look back on that, it was so funny. It was just like, it was so funny. And this year I feel there's like a sort of I feel sad, but also I feel like, okay, well, this is the workshop, you know? Okay, now what? And this is what's happening.
Exactly.
So this is for me, as you say.
Exactly. This is the workshop. Say more about that. I feel sad.
I guess I just, it begs the bigger picture of sickness and death, right? Because last year I was, you know, healthy. This year I'm sick. And so, you know, this is sort of the practice for life, really, in this kind of condensed form of this race. I'm seeing sort of like it's sort of blowing apart the whole, all of life.
Yes.
And I guess that makes me a little afraid and a little sad.
So that's interesting. Okay, so you're seeing, wow, this race is a real microcosm for looking at life and death. And that last year you were healthy and, you know, you got to run the race. And this year you're not as healthy. And it's a completely different thing. And so where does the sad part, sad, and what was the other word you just used? Scared? Did you say fear?
A little bit scared. Yeah, because it's such a reflection of the bigger aspect of, you know, life and death, basically.
Uh-huh. And in other words, that ego attempts to scare you about the death part of the program?
I think so, just like, oh, see, now, see, this, it's happening. See, you're breaking down already. Last year you were healthy and young, and now a year later you're, you know, you're sick and old, and next year maybe you're going to be dead, you know, so.
Right, it happens like, so fast.
happens so fast,
right.
Exactly.
Exactly, got it. Well, and it's so perfect, isn't it? Because what the Buddha taught, of course, is that old age, sickness, and death are, that's part of the program, and we all know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there is somehow that wanting to push it away, right, to resist it. And that what practice offers us is how we are with that. We're not going to change that, right? We're not going to prevent any of those things from happening. But what's possible for us is to practice our relationship with all of it. And so if I'm following what you're saying, it sounds to me like what you're sensing is, oh my gosh, this is a perfect opportunity to practice my relationship with these things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So what keeps dropping in for me as we're talking is it's such a tangible way to practice unconditional love for Kim.
Right.
Right? Because last year, at least the way you laid out, it's like, you know, you were kind of meeting those ego standards. You know, I'm sure it was doing all kinds of things to you around it. And, you know, it probably created suffering. I mean, it sounds like you're even seeing some of the subtle ways it was creating suffering last year that
I see it, and it's laughable. It's really funny because it's just like, you know, here's this little me, this little ego me, just like, oh, I won. I beat these people. And, like, they had no idea.
Exactly.
And it was all in my mind. It was just, it's laughable.
Right. You can see the humor and the absurdity of it. Right. So this year, she's in a completely different place. And so the opportunity to get to communicate to her how much you care about her, support her, love her, when she's running now, this year, the way things are today.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, if it were a friend, I would say to her, you know, just relax. Oh, well. You know, it'll be fine. You'll do what you do, and you'll take care of yourself. That's the most important
and
thing.
And how courageous and amazing that you actually are wanting to run the race this year in these completely different circumstances. Right? So if you had a friend who you know, last year she had all this, you know, energy and enthusiasm and, you know, however you would describe that for running the race. And this year, it sounds like you still want to run the race, right? There's still that desire to participate, like Todd was talking
yes.
about.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But what ego would often tell us in a circumstance like that is, well, no, you can't run the race. I mean, you're not prepared. You're not,
right.
You haven't trained, you're not well. So basically the message is, you're not okay this year. In order to run, you have to meet certain standards. And that's such a perfect microcosm for what we're told about all of our lives. In order to put myself in the queue for the radio show, X, Y, and Z, well, no, they don't. That doesn't have to happen.
Right.
I want to participate wholeheartedly in my life. And in order to do that, you know, ego, of course, goes crazy when we wholeheartedly participate in our lives because there's no suffering in that. So it's going to throw everything in our path to stop us from doing that. So what we're required to do is to cultivate that unconditional love, that support for the person, in this case, Kim, so that she has that support she needs to participate wholeheartedly regardless of circumstances. So in some ways, when the circumstances get, quote, difficult, not feeling well, haven't trained, have a 10-mile race, then that's when she needs the most support, and that's when the biggest levels of transformation are available to us, right? Because we can, if I'm totally in shape and I'm doing great, there's a way in which I can go out and run that race and be fairly unconscious because I'm not going to have to come up against that much.
Right.
But in this case, in the way you lay it out now, there's a lot you're having to come up against.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. That's really helpful. I mean, and the extreme is that I might not be able to run it because it might not really be healthy for me. And ego comes up against that, like, you know, screaming, well, you already paid for the entry fee and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, or I might have to just run half of it. And, like, that is really, you know, I'm laying those possibilities out there and watching.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Kim. I have goosebumps because that takes it to the whole next level, which is that's exactly right. So Kim wants to, I mean, you are Kim's advocate. Kim wants to run this race. Great. Let's enter her in the race. Right? Let's get the thing.
Right.
Well, but I mean, what if she can't do it? I don't care. That's not the point. She wants to run the race. I'm going to do everything I can to support her to do that. Well, what if she can't finish? It's not about finishing. It has nothing to do with finishing. And in fact, what's required of us is to pay attention every moment along the way. So, you know, it's that thing of I buy a plane ticket and so I'm going to, you know, fly to wherever. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Right? So she's entered in the race. All right. So today we do whatever we do, you know, to prepare for that. And then tomorrow and the next day and then the day of the race, if it's still all where we need to be, then we drive to the race course. Okay. And then we get at the starting line. Okay. Yep. Still good. All right. And then off goes the gun for us to start running. Yep. Still good. Here we are. Okay. So mile one. Yep. Still good. So we're checking in every moment.
I love it. I love it.
Right? And there's no outcome. The process is the outcome, as Ashwini Wisdom gave us a few years back.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you so much. Thank you for helping.
Oh, thank you, Kim. That was a really, really fun example to look at. Thank you for calling in with that.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Michael. Michael passed. All right.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And hey,
all right.
Kim, do call back in after the race. I'm sure we'd love to hear the whole workshop. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Go happy. Go happy.
Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Kim. That was a great conversation, Jen. And what kept dropping in was, don't forget to treasure yourself.
Oh,
and I
just
love that line from the Project Choice.
Me too.
So.
Me too. I have been holding that one. Yeah. Because that's so it, isn't it? And that's what Kim's describing. Every, you know, treasure yourself. Here's this lovely, sweet, you know, whatever adjectives speak to each of us person. She wants to run this race. Great. Let's enter her in the race. And then, you know, we'll take all those steps. And, you know, that presence in every moment along the way, that is the treasuring, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I really appreciated how you laid that out step by step by step to driving to the race, to getting at the starting line, to, yeah, because that's what it is, moment by moment.
That's what it is. That's what it is. I mean, truly, we have no idea in what's going to happen in the next moment or what's appropriate in the next moment or what's going to be called for or anything. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly so. Exactly so. And what's true in this moment, Jen, is that we're going to hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Thank you.
Having emptied our teacups in 2016, we are now embodying joy in 2017. Joy is our experience of presence. Availing ourselves of all the support we can as we undertake Project Joy is both wise and kind. Zen Awareness Coaching is just such a support. Through weekly calls, email check-ins, and focused practice commitments, we practice with any life content to see how we are caused to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. Zen Awareness coaches are trained and guided by Sherry Huber. They offer coaching as a way to deepen their own practice and support the monastery through regular donations. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit livingcompassion.org. Click on Participate to find Zen Awareness Coaching. Make 2017 a year of great love and joy.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sorry, Jen, you dropped way down to the bottom of the queue there, and I couldn't find you for a moment.
You know, having done that behind the scenes part, Michael, I'm in awe of what you do all every week. Yeah, I know how that is. Oh, shoot.
Yep. Yeah, well, the good news is, you know, it's just practice, you know, and I've had the good fortune and privilege of doing this for a while. And so it's just, as you know, with each of our roles within practice, as we do it over and over, it's just like, oh, yeah, all the technology fell apart today. Okay. Oh, well, I'll be back tomorrow.
I mean, and isn't Sherry Huber just the unbelievable best model for that, you know?
Yes.
Oh, it's so... I was looking at that the other day, too. I was in a practice role, and something very unexpected happened. And I had such a profound experience in the middle of it as the heart was racing and of nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. And it's just so profound to have experiences like that where, it's not quite going. It's kind of what we were talking about with Kim. It's not quite going as usual or how it did last year or how I, you know, someone would wish it went or, you know, it's not all smooth. But those are the times where when that nothing wrong experience holds it, it's like, wow, it's so breathtaking.
It is breathtaking. And as you said, to see it modeled by the guide and then, on retreat with the monks and the facilitators and then, you know, slowly, opportunity by opportunity, you know, we get it like, oh, yeah, it's, you know, if they're fine with it, then I can be fine with it.
Yeah, you know, and the image I just got there, Michael, was so there I am, you know, someone in the Sangha, and I'm at work in a situation where, you know, I'm not able to, whatever, and it drops in, well, Michael didn't freak out when he couldn't find the guy that he can do. So if he didn't need to freak out, maybe I don't either. Maybe it's okay, right? It's fun.
Yes, exactly.
All practice, truly.
All practice. And yeah. Here we go with the next caller, Jen.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura in Berkeley.
Hey, Laura.
Hey, Laura.
How are you?
Wow, I'm good. I'm having the experience of, I feel like there's so many different things I could talk about. It's hard to pick just one.
Exactly.
But one thing that's been coming up is that a process that I'm looking at work, and that things are getting busier at work. I think that the next couple of months are going to be pretty busy. And I went through this similar period last summer. And did a lot of practice around that. But I guess I'm feeling a real kind of willingness or possibility of, like, how can I support myself in this? How can I, I guess, sort of use this as training? How can I,
exactly. So having been through it, a sense of, what there is there and what you might be up against and all the sort of ways that conditioning takes advantage of the situation, I would guess.
Yes.
Right? to create extra suffering.
Yes.
And so looking at, as this begins, how do I want to support myself? How might I love that perspective you're talking about. How might this actually benefit my training?
Mm-hmm.
Almost like,
interesting.
Sort of a theme tonight, but how can I take advantage of this opportunity? Because I don't know if this is quite what you're describing, but for me, different circumstances in my life trigger different sets of karma, right? And so when things really get busy, that's its own sort of karmic thing. And so, so this one is cycling around again. Boy, it would be great to take the most advantage of it. See about, support Laura, take the next step with that, deepen all those sorts of things.
Yeah, and I guess I'm seeing that, because I think, it kind of feels like it's an opportunity to sort of burn through some karma, And I think that kind of where conditioning would like to go with it is, you need to figure out how to not feel all those feelings you don't want to feel, you need to,
Basically,
for me, it goes
to. Sorry, go ahead. For you, it goes to.
Yeah, I mean, overwhelm, and then that's a short step into I'm a big victim, and I get really angry at everyone around me.
Boy, there's a sequence. I bet you're not alone in. So there's overwhelm, right? And then big victim, and then angry at everyone around you.
Yes. Yeah.
And it sounds
like
you
feel bad because why am I?
I'm
not being a good student and compassionate and.
Exactly. So then you're offered the quote guidance of, okay, well, you need to feel differently in that situation then.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's what conditioning. So conditioning talks us into feeling all those ways. And then it offers us the not so helpful advice of, well, just don't feel that way. I mean, right? Because if you were practicing properly, you wouldn't get to the place of overwhelm. You wouldn't feel like a victim. You wouldn't get angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have to beat you.
Right. Yeah, and I just kind of saw that on this, because I think that there is an authentic energy and desire there of, like you were saying, how can I support myself? It wasn't until just on this call that I was kind of seeing, like, oh, and I can see where condition would want to take that, it wants to take it into control, controlling the
Such a good question.
And not having to experience that.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Wow, I suspect you really just hit on a big one for all of us. So there you are. You start to see that this thing is happening, and you recognize that it's habitual, and even it sounds like in this case cyclical. And so very likely the first thing that drops in is kind of an insight around, ooh, wow, okay, I'm going to get to see this again. And as you say, that really kind of sincere desire to support Laura through this, right? Mm. To use this almost to our advantage, right? We get to support her. We get to see it. As you say, you know, possibly burn through some karma here. And then very quietly, the shell game begins, right? And things get moved around to where it becomes control. And the control is, I'm going to stop feeling this way. I'm going to stop having these reactions.
Yeah, and right now I can kind of feel like a little bit of like emotion coming up, just I think kind of connecting, because I think that why it's easy to fall for that is that there's that human there that it's just really hard for her to be in that situation, and it's, you know, and it, I mean, to have, I mean, in that situation with conditioning, talking to her. But,
exactly.
You know, and a challenging situation in general, and, you know.
Yeah.
And so it seems like a good thing. I can stop that. I can stop it from happening.
Yes. Uh-huh. I see what you're saying. Let me see if I'm tracking. So in other words, so the idea of let's stop that from happening, that seems like a reasonable thing. That seems like a good thing. Because there is this person who's in this difficult situation, right?
Oh, right, like that'll stop the pain. Like that'll...
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But all it's doing is setting us up for just getting pulled right back through the cycle. You know, because, of course, that's a good idea. We'll stop feeling that way. We'll stop doing that. Well, how is that going to happen? Right? I mean, we haven't addressed anything, really. All we're just saying is, let's not do that. Okay, well, that's a great idea, but we haven't actually gotten down to what's going on here. And I project the big thing, you know, the huge thing you just said is the key, which is that it's a challenging situation. And on top of that, Laura is just being berated by these voices. So she's receiving the opposite of what she actually needs.
Yeah, that's good to be reminded. I came back from a vacation today, and so, you know, the huge pile of emails and all of everything. and I was recording beforehand, and I was sort of realizing, it was like, okay, conditioning can be telling you did everything wrong, and you know, there's probably going to be emails in there where somebody did something differently than you would have done, and they're going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that, and it's going to be like, it was really helpful to sort of unearth that whole, like, you conversation that was, that I just wasn't even, it would have just been running in the background, I wouldn't have even noticed it.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Right. And that's it, isn't it? So as you go into this time where, first of all, who knows, right, how it's going to be, but that it seems like it's going to be a time where there's more on your plate, and so it may well trigger all of these things. So if you can begin to have that relationship with it of, okay, this is the workshop, and let me see everything I can see about it. And the thing that's so fun about that, right, is that in order to burn through the karma and to see everything we can see about it, we have to attempt not to change it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by that? Because if I start to change it and control it, then I'm messing with the experiment. I'm ruining the data.
It's true. I mean, in order to burn the karma, my experience, the experience that I think of as burning through karma is I'm in it. I'm feeling all of it. And that's exactly what conditioning says I need to avoid.
And it's just so not true, is it? Right? Because we all know that experience of when we have that unbelievable grace of dropping straight into the thing. I mean, it's a little bit what I was describing in my experience the other day, where I was had something so unexpected happen, and there was a ton of sensation with it. And instead of trying to do something to manage that and to make it not happen, there's just that place of dropping straight into it. And in that, that's our best shot at having access to the insight, the compassion, the acceptance, and the deep love for the practitioner who's going through that.
And it seems like it's kind of a faith that, because that's the other thing that really gets me. It's like, it's scary to be, you know, to start feeling that way and feel angry and you're going to do things you regret and whatever. And but just to have that faith that whatever comes up is going to be okay.
Exactly.
Which,
you know,
as I say that, I can feel
that,
my body relax.
which is such a big clue, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and as you say that, Laura, I just picture recordings along the lines of talking to her and saying, hey, I know it's hard, and I don't need you to be any different, and I am, please, any time of day, you know, go to the bathroom and whisper to me for 2 minutes, you know, or 1 minute, or whatever it is. I'm here. You know, you're feeling angry, you're feeling frustrated, you're feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling whatever it is. I'm here. It's completely all right. You can tell me all about it. I want to know.
Yeah, and I've been trying to check in every hour, actually. It's been one of my commitments with my coach recently, and so I've been doing a lot of bathroom recordings, and yes, it is.
Yeah, checking in every hour, that's heroic level. That's like Olympic level practice right there. It's so good, Laura, because again, what you're describing, what other folks are describing tonight, it's such a good reminder to us that practice is everything, in the sense of practice is available to me, and practice can deepen in the times when it's challenging, you know, but that's when our practice shines, and that's when we have the biggest opportunities for transformation.
You know, one thing that I think I came up with last time, I thought there's something wrong with your retreat, was like, it's like that's how we become the hero that we're meant to be, is through that.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we can see that, you know, when we're paying attention, when we're here, we can see the hero of that person practicing in that way. I mean, someone who wants to check in every hour and does it? Wow.
Yeah.
You know? Wow. Yeah, it's big. All right, well,
thank you very much. You're
a candidate. You're a candidate for reporting back, I hope.
Yes, that sounds very good.
Okay. All right, excellent. Thanks, Laura. Take really good care. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. Jen, I loved that line. That's how we become the hero we're meant to be.
Me too.
Wow. Wow.
And you know, you could almost say, Michael, as I'm looking at that, you could almost say that's how we see the hero that we are.
Yes. Exactly so.
Yeah.
Exactly so. Yes, by burning through that karma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are that hero right now. It's just that so much gets obscured, you know, that we can't see it. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. And sure. Jen, we have time for at least one more caller.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael. Hey, Jen. This is Anne calling from the Bay Area.
Hey, Anne.
Hi, Anne.
Hey, well, this is a great radio show. I'm really enjoying the conversation, and I'm just saying yes to everything. Yes, yes, yes.
I know.
And that is just such a fun experience.
It is. It is. We're all so the same.
So I'm calling in with a kind of a fun story slash practice success. I was with somebody this weekend, and she stopped for a minute and looked at me, and she said, "You seem like such a happy person."
Oh.
And I just looked at her, and I thought, you know, it's just so stuck with me, because it's like, wow, that is the gift of practice. You know, that is the gift of Project Joy, that when we can be in joy, when we live in joy, that emanates out to other people, and they feel it. They notice it.
Yes. Yes. And it has an impact. It's like we were talking about when, you know, one group of people is on retreat, everyone's on retreat. It's that same kind of thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. That there's no separation, and that, that practicing really is a gift to the world.
Yeah. Oh, it so is. Practicing is a gift to the world. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, and I love that thing, too, from the Project Joy call that yesterday, don't forget to treasure yourself. I mean, how exquisite is that?
I know. And you know what's so fun, Anne, is that when we all hear it, it just goes right in. And let's see, I don't know quite how to say it. And yet, like, we can forget that on a moment-by-moment basis. But when someone says, don't forget to treasure yourself, we all just go right there.
Yeah, well, I think we all go there if we've been practicing, because I know that I've been in pre-practice, I don't know that it would have gone in, you know, although
point.
We can really see the other, we can treasure other people, but it's very difficult to treasure ourselves pre-practice.
And actually, and we're actually trained not to, in a way, right? Because if someone, maybe doesn't have that foundation. Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. What do you mean, treasure myself? That's so arrogant.
Well, and you know, it's so funny, I have this tea bag, you know how tea bags have different sayings on them? And I have one that I saved that says, the gateway to happiness is self-compassion.
Yeah.
And isn't that, I mean, we might say it a little bit differently, but isn't that, like, so true that if I am really loving myself, treasuring myself, of course I'm going to be happy, because I'm living with somebody all the time who loves me.
Yeah. I mean, it's so incredibly simple, and yet, I mean, because you think about if all of us, all 7 billion of us, were treasuring ourselves, you know, there would be no hunger, no, you know, poverty. There'd be no reason for it.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was on the show yesterday or the show today. I think it was the show yesterday when Sherry was talking about prepping for retreat, and she was washing the chairs, and she was just so happy. She was talking to them saying, thank you, chair. And aren't you happy to be getting your face washed? And, I just so relished that. It was like, that is so the way to live, to be, you know, one of the exercises of Project Joy, I think, was to say thank you to all the inanimate objects and to just receive what there is to receive in each moment. You know, the incredible sky, the gorgeous trees. If we're caught in conditioned mind, we can't receive any of that.
That's right. And then you practicing that is a gift to all.
Yeah. Well, yes, and I think that, yeah, I mean, part of the reason I wanted to call in is just say to thank you to everybody. I know the pre-show show when the person was thanking everybody for who made the retreat possible. I mean, I feel like saying thank you to every single person who's practicing, because that's what makes happiness possible. Because, you know, I hear it from other people, something inspires me, and it's all of us in it together really realizing, you know, the quality, the focus of our attention determines the quality of our lives.
It is so true. And it reminds me of a caller this morning on the Project Radio Show who, these are my words for what she was saying, but it was something along the lines of, gosh, I've been in something of a difficult place, and it's so helpful to be able to get on the calls, even when I feel like, gosh, I don't really want to, or, you know, whatever, the voices are at me, and to hear someone describe exactly what I'm going through, and to hear how they're practicing with that. So what I just saw and what you said, that all of us practicing is what makes that being happy possible, that's it. That, because there are times where it's not easy. It doesn't feel like I have access to the joy or whatever. But if I show up and if I stick with Sangha, not for long, because someone's going to model it for me. Someone's going to, you know, it's the birds in the V formation thing.
Right. It's kind of that act as if it's, you know, I know that there's nothing wrong, but I'm not seeing it right now. So I need help getting to a place of knowing that again.
Yep.
So anyway, I just had to call and say thank you to everybody, and it's so delightful to be have the daily practice and have everything, and yay team!
Yay team! Excellent. Well, thanks for adding in your thank you, Anne.
Alrighty. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anne. There was some lit up energy on that line there, Jen.
Hi there, sure was. I'm feeling it.
I'm feeling it too. And it's 3 minutes to the hour. Do you want to talk with one more caller, or shall we call it a show?
Well, let's know that we all know we have 3 more minutes and see if we can fit one more person in.
All right, let's see who we have here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, I will just, it is Ota, hi.
Hey, it's Ota.
Hello. Hi, I will just use the 3 minutes to say how thankful I am for everything and to repeat how beautiful it is to go on retreat and thank you for everything that you're doing.
That's a great way to use 3 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah.
In fact,
and it's so good because it makes me feel blissful too, you know?
That, you know what? That is a seemingly obvious but incredibly important point to realize. So that in the act of me choosing to say how grateful I am and how lovely it is to go on retreat, I'm the primary beneficiary of that, aren't I?
Exactly. Uh-huh. How beautiful, yes. Or even better, there is no self and other, kind of, you know? Like, everybody's a beneficiary. It's so beautiful.
Yes.
Well,
exactly what Anne was talking about, right? So one person is practicing, or one group of people is on retreat, but that's everything. That's all of us.
Yes. It's so fantastic. Yeah, it's like what you were saying about people being on retreat and you being there even if you're not there. And I felt the same way.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Exactly so. Uh-huh. It is so beautiful. You know, and it strikes me as you say that, Asota, that, you know, often people will talk about, gosh, I haven't been able to get to the monastery for some time. But somehow just knowing that it's there and knowing that people are there practicing really assists in all of practice. And so I think there's that and that it works. That same principle is true for all of Sangha. Just knowing that there are people, and you're a perfect example, all over the globe, right, practicing in all different circumstances, in all different stages of their lives, in, you know, all different levels of challenge at different days. It really adds to everyone's practice.
Yes, I was thinking about that too, you know, that maybe one is at the stage now, but then thanks to all these people sharing this thing, maybe when one is in a more difficult stage, he can really use the help of the other people sharing the other stages, kind of. Yeah, I'm so thankful for everybody sharing their stuff. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Me too. So generous. Yep. And thank you for generously sharing your 3 minutes with us.
Thank you. Thank you to you and to everybody there.
Okay. Thank you, Zosia. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Isetta. And Jen, I'm having trouble suppressing a smile over here after all of this gratitude coming over the airwaves.
Yeah, might as well just give up trying to stop it.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Me too.
Thank you, Jen, for being here. It's great to have your presence and wisdom and humor and clarity and all that good energy. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Michael, and a pleasure always, and always to you for being there week after week.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's a real gift.
Since at least 2003.
As we learned.
Yeah, as we learned earlier tonight, yeah.
Yes. Okay, Jen, thank you, and good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.